Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Individual Empowerment, A Way to a Better Future by Eric Gribble, is being called a must-read for anyone searching for answers to the most important issues of survival on planet Earth. Concerns include a social breakdown, an approaching climate calamity, loss of genetic diversity, world overpopulation, economic stagnation, and a loss of manufacturing jobs. Eric has a broad interest in economics, horticulture, and astronomy. He's owned and operated small horticultural businesses in New Zealand and Australia, taking an interest in politics. He served as an electorate secretary for a small political party in New Zealand. He has diversified life experiences in New Zealand and Australia. Due to a tragic personal loss during his life, he became aware that we all have a relatively short existence. The question we all must ask is, what is the purpose of it all? Eric's belief is that we all contribute in a very small way to the steady advancement of humanity. That is our legacy. That legacy becomes obvious, less obvious, if society does not appear to be advancing. That's why Eric anticipates that his book demonstrates to people that there is a future, that the current crisis that humanity is going through is totally solvable. And Eric Gribble, author of Individual Empowerment, A Way to a Better Future, is our guest via Skype from Australia on This Week in America. Eric, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
It is our pleasure. This is such an important book, touching on subjects that we all need to be aware of and focused on. What inspired you to write this book, Individual Empowerment?
I was born and raised in New Zealand by, well, my parents were basically Second World War generation, and my father was a spool builder, and the attitude always was that the world didn't owe anyone a living. And during my, New Zealand was, when I was young, number three in the world for GDP per capita. And during my lifetime, I just saw a steady decline in the country's economy and rising social problems, and I attributed all to government. And of course, I also had a bit of a background in economics, so I recognised that it was the impact of government decisions that was the involvement in people's personal lives and the extent to which government was interfering with the working of the free enterprise system, which is basically should be self-regulating, which was causing the problems. So, yeah.
You go into depth in this. The book, Eric's book, is Individual Empowerment, A Way to a Better Future. Eric Gribble, that's G-R-I-B-B-L-E. You'll find the book available at barnesandnoble.com, all of the usual places. We'll give you that information as we go through the program. We've got a copy of the book on the air, and Eric has a copy of that there as well. Individual Empowerment is becoming an international bestseller. Let's go through some of the topics you address, Eric, in the book. Let's talk about innovation. Why is innovation important, a key to a successful economy?
Well, all products go through a life cycle where you've got the development phase, and then you've got the growth phase when there's no competition, and then the maturity phase. But during the growth phase, there's usually no competition because it's a new product on the market, and that's when maximum profit is derived. The maturity phase is where competition starts developing the same product and profits fall because of competition. So if a lot of products in an economy are in the development phase or the growth phase, then that's when maximum profits are being derived, and that's when an economy will prosper. So that's why it's important to for industries within an economy to be constantly innovating. And also, it's a secondary side too, because innovation and new products also improve efficiency, because they basically they make life easier for people.
Yes.
So it's both efficiency and profit, the most profitable area to be in.
What are some of the factors that lead some people to innovate? Some people just seem to be visionaries. They're always looking for an innovative way to approach solving a problem. What are some of the factors that lead people to innovate?
Yes, that's a tricky one. It's all to do with people's conditioning, I think. People who are in the sciences tend to be more analytical, because they're conditioned to think laterally
Oh,
and look
yes.
for solutions, whereas accountants and lawyers tend to be more memory-based learning. And what this leads to is that it hasn't been a lot of innovation in our institutions as a result. But it's a very indeterminate. It's to do with people's background. People who come, immigrants from places where there's been no social welfare, like for Asia, for example, they have, for their survival, they have always develop cottage industries for their very survival, and they bring that mindset over with them when they immigrate into a different country. And usually those new immigrants start up cottage industries and various businesses, because it's very indeterminate. Then you have people like Elon Musk, who is driven by a goal. And he is so focused on a goal that he, for his goal was, he believed that humanity should become multiplanetary, and that goal has driven him from a very young age. So it's the factors are very indeterminate. It's you have the usual things which people talk about, like, low as an environment where there's few regulations, low taxes, availability of venture capital and stuff like that. But it's there's more to it than that. There's no simple answer to
Eric,
what causes people. Yeah.
yeah, Eric Gribble is our guest on the program. If you're Googling, that's Gribble, coming to us via Skype from Australia. His book is Individual Empowerment, A Way to a Better Future, book available here in the United States, worldwide, wherever books are sold. Send you to barnesandnoble.com, Amazon as well. Eric, something that's always interested me that we hear about it, I'm not quite sure what the explanation is. What exactly is supply side economics?
Yeah, well, people get confused, because
Yes.
I think it's because of, I like to take everything down back to a barter basis and talk about a primitive society, because money is a medium of exchange, which tends to confuse the explanation. But if you may imagine a primitive Stone Age society, and one individual works on and invents a wheelbarrow, then the other members of that tribe, because it makes life easier bringing meat back from the hunting field, for example, and saves labor and everything, other members of that tribe will demand that wheelbarrow. So they'll hunt a dish for additional meat so that they can pay the and barter for the wheelbarrow, to get, because that's a, and so that wheelbarrow becomes demanded.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is, supply creates its own demand. But demand side economics is basically redistribution. And if you just redist if a tribe just redistributes its meat with those who would starve without it. In other words, those who need support within the tribe, which is the humanitarian thing to do, The trouble is there's no real additional demand for that meat, so there's no real incentive, and there's no labor, you haven't invented a labor-saving device. So what I'm saying is there's no real demand for what is already in existence. So redistribution to poor members of society doesn't necessarily result in economic growth because
Yes.
there's no demand for what's already in existence. But of course, that redistribution is necessary anyway because you can't have, well, we can't have, basically, you can't have people begging on the streets. So we live in a humane society, but it's supply side economics that's going to drive growth.
Interesting. I appreciate that definition. We hear that often, and it's sort of a floating definition over here exactly what that means. And I'm glad that you were able to pin that down for us. Our guest is Eric Gribble, Gribble. The book is Individual Empowerment. What's the main cause? This is a big one. What is the main cause of social breakdown in society? That's one of the first areas that you talk about in the book. What's the main cause of social breakdown?
Yes. When many years ago, what used to happen is you'd have elderly parents and children quite often living in all in the same home. But as our society became more prosperous, we had a situation where we had a breakdown of the family unit when where young people would quite often leave home at a young age and would no longer have the mentoring from the elderly people, elderly members of the family. So you'd have people, basically what's happening in our society today is you have young people that are just left to their own devices without any mentoring. And the solution I suggested in the book is to bring the groups back. You have a whole lot of elderly people who are retired, who are both basically excluded from society. Quite often they live lonely lives, and they have so much to offer. They have a lifetime of experience, and then you have young people who are quite often in sole parent family situations, living alone, but have no life skills. So what I suggested is that we have a situation where people receiving welfare have to go on a compulsory mentoring program, and if they don't comply, their welfare goes back to just a basic ticket system where they don't get cash in hand from the taxpayer. And it sounds harsh. And also the elderly people go on a mentoring program and are brought into these families as mentors, a voluntary program for elderly, and they could get a top up to their pension if they go into this program, which involves a lot of training. Plus, of course, you can't put elderly people in a dangerous situation, obviously.
Yes.
But the strategy is to try and bring the two groups together. So it was just a concept which I thought about, which could contribute to reducing the breakdown that we're currently experiencing in society.
Thought-provoking idea, as all of the ideas are in Eric's book, Eric Gribble, Gribble. The book is Individual Empowerment, A Way to a Better Future. Book available wherever books are sold. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Time is going by too quickly. I want to talk about a couple of more key areas in the book, and let's talk about the role of government. We really oftentimes don't really like government, but yet we look to government to solve our problems. What do you believe is the role of government?
Well, I believe the goal of government is very limited. I'm almost a libertarian in this regard. I believe the primary role of government is security of the individual, and that involves defence, social welfare for people that fall through the gaps, the judiciary, which is meant to be independent anyway from government, and police. So all those factors around the security of the individual, but just about everything else like education, health, can all be put in a competitive private sector environment. And well, you can have a subsidized system for low income people for education accounts and subsidized health insurance, so that low, it's still available. It's available for low income people, but you're moving everything out of government because basically the free enterprise system is self-regulating. It doesn't need government, and this is what people don't understand.
Yes, and you do an excellent job of explaining this in much more detail in Eric's book, Individual Empowerment. Time for a couple more questions. These are big ones, and I shouldn't do this and give you a couple minutes each to answer these, but it goes into detail, Eric does, in the book, Individual Empowerment. The key is it gets us thinking about issues that we are all facing as a society. How about major taxation reform? What, is it possible, and should it be, and will it help?
Definitely, the income tax system has been constantly modified and used for all sorts of purposes, like lower taxes for low-income people. So they're confusing it with the welfare payments. And then we have rebates and all sorts of stuff for politicians' pet programs, basically. And
Yes.
then we have an entire industry based around estate planning and trusts in order to lower people's income tax bills. There's a whole industry that's not needed. What I suggested for reform is that we need to move away from taxing income, which is production, to taxing expenditure, which is goods and services taxes. So it's changing the whole emphasis, and it's a across the board, it's a broad-based tax, which creates a level playing field for industry. So you're not favouring any particular industry, which is what income tax does, which is distorts the economy. And but because goods and tax services tax is a regressive tax, which tends because low-income people spend a greater proportion of their income on living expenses, so low-income people will be more affected by goods and services taxes. That is why I suggested alternative, suggested subsidised education and health for education for children and health. And also, I actually like the concept of a guaranteed minimum income scheme. I know there's been a lot of criticism by different people of that particular scheme, but I actually like the concept where everyone gets a basic income from the government, regardless of their income. It's a concept that's been around for a while, but I actually like that concept because it helps low income people,
Well, yes,
and
you
if,
fr
without distorting or changing incentives.
you frame it in such a way that it gets us thinking that maybe this isn't such a bad idea, that we were at some point led to believe that this is really not something that we should be participating in. But it's another idea that Eric puts out there in his book, Individual Empowerment. Time for one more question, and I really need to talk about this because we are seeing here in the United States just dramatic climate change regarding global warming, environmental issues. Can you briefly describe what action we should be taking, and is it too late?
Well, I don't think it is too late, and I believe the action we should have been taking for a long time is, well, my pet subject, nuclear energy. It's safe, and even though it's been portrayed as not being safe, moderated reactors cannot melt down, and radiation is everywhere. I mean, If you died in 10,000 years' time, we'll be able to carbon date your bones because your bones are full of radioactive carbon isotopes. Radiation is everywhere. People are fearing something which, it's only dangerous in nuclear reactors because it's in concentrated form. And it's not as dangerous, anywhere near as dangerous as what the hype would have us believe. But density is the answer. Energy density in the form of nuclear, agricultural density in the form of, environmentally controlled greenhouses on rooftops could feed cities, which would take pressure off wilderness areas. So agricultural density, energy density, and we need lots and lots of energy for charging up electric cars or economic growth, for agriculture, everything requires a lot
Yes.
of energy, so we need to massively increase our energy production, and that can only be done via nuclear, and that is the long-term answer. It's the only real solution because these alternative energy renewables, they just can't simply cannot be backed up on such a large scale. Battery technology and everything else just isn't there yet. It's just,
Yes.
we're going down a dead end path in that respect.
I'm going to take 30 seconds here at the end and ask you. We just went through a whole litany of problems that we face, and sometimes we're thinking these are really overwhelming. But I get the impression that you are optimistic about the future, that if we work together, these problems are solvable.
Yes, I believe we do have a bright future. I believe that we could have substantial economic growth if we just got government out of people's lives and allowed people to reach their potential. But like I said, bright future. I followed a space program and I can see what's happening there. That's actually currently the world's fastest growing industry. For example, they're talking about private space stations now because of the future of growing human organs from stem cells in zero gravity. And there's so much technology coming on stream. And what's happened is we've actually increased our innovative base because of improving living standards throughout the world, there's actually a bigger pool of people where innovation is coming from. So there's more and more technology coming on stream all the time because of it. So I can see a great future, and also because I personally believe with the concept of energy and agricultural density, I actually believe that our planet can support up to 10 times its existing population with less environmental problems than we have now.
Interesting
But it's
how I love the optimism. We talked about problems that, again, many of us think are surmountable, and you feel that we can work our way out of these. The book is so well done. Possibility of a screenplay coming from Eric's book. The book will be featured on a billboard over here in Times Square in New York City, getting a lot of international play. The book is Individual Empowerment: A Way to a Better Future by Eric Gribble. That's Gribble. Eric, a pleasure having you on the program. Are you working on another book now?
I have started another book, but I haven't progressed very far with it yet. But I quite like the concept I've come up with for a new book, so hopefully in about a year's time it'll be ready.
That is good, and hopefully we will have a chance to talk about that. I really appreciate you taking the time in the middle of the night in Australia to get up and talk to us on This Week in America here. And the book is available Amazon, Barnes and Noble. I would like to thank Historia Advertising for their marketing assistance in connecting Eric and myself for the program today, historiaadvertising.com. And again, all this information you'll find on our website. Eric, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. I enjoyed it. Yeah, thanks for
It has been our pleasure. Eric Gribble, G-R-I-B-B-L-E. The book is Individual Empowerment, A Way to a Better Future. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.